You know, I thought I would get more fixed income traders because we did bring TradeFinder did bring fixed income back.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I'm your host, Kyle, and today, Jeff, a.k.a. Two Year Flipper, is joining us to talk about the new deal he's got going on with TradeFinder. So today, we're going to ask about what TradeFinder has to offer. We're going to talk to Jeff about why he decided to partner with them, and then what sort of benefits that partnership should give those people that sign up with it. So where do you want to start with that, Jeff?
Well, we could delve a little into the markets right now. I could tell I'm slowly haven't really started trading this year. I'll get into the bonds probably February. It's roll time. That seems to be, my best time to trade are, still rolls or where the most edges are for me.
I saw that you've also been kind of stepping back a little bit from the scalping, it looks like, too. Like, you're trading more, focusing more on the rolls, it looks like, lately.
Yes, I'm focusing more on the rolls. Specifically, I'm looking at the Goldman rolls and the grains. Mm-hmm. I don't need to trade a lot during the day, and my knowledge of the K algo, is beneficial to me in those markets. And I have a generous inventory, so I can pretty much do what I please if I want something. But typically, I don't really do, it's not like the 2 year, back in the day when it was a quarter tick and they were 100,000 up. It's not how corn and beans actually work. Those are actually the best markets. Like, if I were going to tell somebody, I want to learn to read the ladder, the Dom, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's not even close. You go to the corn and beans, you bring up those spreads and you watch them last hour of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your best learning curve to learn how to read the Dom.
That's funny. Because we talked a lot about sending people to soybeans last time you were on, like that being the place where people wanted to learn. How much of that is just because the market doesn't move as much and you're less likely to get slammed in the face like maybe you would in a product like UB or some of the other treasuries?
Yeah, well, I mean, the beans, first of all, well, in the spread, it's a much tighter market in the, in the spreads versus... Versus the outrights. I mean... They just don't move as fast unless it's July Novi bean spreads. I mean, obviously those can cook in the summer, because you got new crop, old crop stuff going on with those. And that stuff's all a little over my head. People will ask me, I'm like, whatever the most simple view you can have trading, that's what I have.
Yeah.
I don't go into what's going on with weather, farm, none of that stuff matters to me.
That's way outside your horizon.
Because I'm a 1 minute trader.
Right.
All of that stuff does not affect how I trade. But it's just a nice order flow. You can kind of see, for instance, the Novjan bean spread. I mean, it just didn't move a lot during the day, but you saw a lot of action. It's a penny and a half, mm-hmm. Two penny range. And so, you're only moving 8 ticks a day.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was liking when I was looking at it. It's like, it's kind of hard to get really smoked too bad if, not like trading NQ, you get on the wrong side.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
You can be on the wrong side if you're quoting size, obviously.
Right.
For the most part, what I'm looking at is, hey, what's going on here? I'm watching this a 20 lot fire, and he's going. I know he's going to go for 2 full minutes. Mm-hmm. Now I'm looking at what the size of the bid offer is, and I'm like, look, I know this guy's going to be selling every 5 seconds. That means he's going to be selling about 500 or 250 spreads a minute. Okay, can I make money off of that? How can I make money off of that? I'm going to go with him. And one of the benefits to having nice inventory is, well, I could sell it at a half, and he might rifle in to the quarters only 5 times, so he sold 100. But I only sold 20, so if I quote, it's like, ooh, I picked up four. I got right. my 20. Now, the majority of the people aren't going to be able to do that, especially if you don't have member rates.
Yeah.
I don't know how people can really trade grains without member rates. Like, I would be bankrupt if I didn't have member rates there.
God, I think I did try taking a corn scalp just to see, like, what is a tick is like $12.50 a tick, and it's like four something.
It's $12.50 a tick. And, you know, I mean, I know on a lot of the, you know, the prop firms and whatnot, they charge about $4.50 ish.
Yeah.
So, you know, scalper math just doesn't add up there. You can't have a contract. Let's just call it $4.50 to make it easy. You can't make $8 on a winning scalp and lose $17 because the math just doesn't add up. You're going to have to hit at like a 75% hit rate. Can't be done.
Yeah, if you're taking ticks, you're taking a 33% haircut off of every winning trade. That's a substantial drag on your profit.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah, so that makes sense about the member rates then. I mean, we talked a lot about that.
Yeah, I've said this for a long time. Leasing a AM membership. Now that does not give you the rights to trade. You know, can't trade corn and beans with member rates on it. Dude, that lease is only $250 a month.
Right.
I'm shocked more people aren't leasing that seat. I mean, a full, it's up there. I mean, I think it's $1,600, $1,700 a month, give or take. You know, you're going to be plus or minus $50 from $1,600. I mean, I remember when I started way back in 90, 95, 96, to lease a full was $10,000 a month, $8,000 a month. It's expensive. Damn.
Yeah. How the hell they get so cheap then? Just so many more people clamoring for them now, the supply and demand?
Yeah, I don't know if a lot of people trade corn and beans, to be honest. I mean, you know, farmers are hedging them. Obviously, you have options, traders, you know, to, you know, doing their thing. But just scalping outright corn and beans. I mean, I think I'm one of the few people that probably do it, you know,
right.
with nothing else on the line. I don't have anything else on the line other than I'm scalping the price action.
So what's the deal with the bonds and treasuries then? Why have you been taking kind of a step back from those guys?
November's roll or the DEIS roll, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay. I don't particularly love the December trade. I usually take the last 2 weeks of December off. I think it really came down to New Year's Eve. Typically, the contracts I trade on New Year's Eve carry into the new year, you know, whether it be Fed funds, bonds, you know, whatever I'm carrying, because I'm looking for, you know, I'm looking for people flattening their book at the end of the year.
Right.
I'm happy to take the risk over New Year's Eve. It makes no difference to me. And, you know, just another day. Mm-hmm. It was such a horrendous trade the year end. I mean, it was god awful. Like, probably my worst one I've had in 15, 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And not worse. Like, I made a little money, but I'm like, usually I'm starting the year getting the huge numbers. You know, usually I'm starting the year, first trading day of January, I'm like, I'm 12,000 on the year already. You know, from positions I carried from New Year's, I didn't carry anything. I can't remember the last time I didn't carry a trade over the new year. It's been a long time. Like, that funds gave out nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing.
Do you think that's because the edge is starting to dry up? At least the edges that you've been spotting?
I think the edge is getting, it's getting harder and harder to find the edge. I still believe it is there in the fixed income, but it's a battle. And I'm just taking the approach now. My approach has been, I can make enough during treasury rolls those 4 weeks to carry me a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always nice to keep, you know, the rubber on the pavement, keeping money churning. I'm just delving into other markets. Like, I've been trading a lot of gold lately. I've been dabbling with the ES.
Have you been scalping ES?
No, okay. I do not scalp the ES. It's no different gold I'm trading. Like I said, gold, my trades are 3 and 6 lots or 4 and 8 lots. Nothing huge. I'm going for $3 yeah. on them.
I like gold. Gold's a fun little product.
Gold is a nice trade. It's a very momentum-based trade for sure.
Yeah, I learned that lesson the hard way. It starts disrespecting areas. You just stand out of the way because you're going to get run over.
Gold's one of those funny things. Like, if you need them, you better grab them, because I can't tell you how many times I've caught a good or wanted to catch a good move. Like, I recognize what I want to do. I'm like, I'm going to sell it, whatever. It's trading like 60. It's trading 60.2 now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I'm going to sell it at 60.5. And then, it's sitting there at 2.22. I'm like, it's going to go up there. And, it swooshes down to 59.5. I'm like, oh, shit. Then I'm like, all right, I got to lower it a little bit. And then it's down at 58.5. And you're like, well, shit, I already missed a $2 move here. If I got a 4 lot off, I'm up $800 already. So now I'm out of $2 move. And, it's inevitable. If I were to market it right then at like 58, it's going to turn around.
Yep.
And if I don't get in, it's going to continue to go down. So gold is a funny trade. It's not forgiving. I'll always say about the ES, ES usually gives you an opportunity. If it goes right away from you, it's very rare.
Sometimes it's really quick, but you usually get the touchback. Yeah, yeah.
But it's very rare that it just keeps going without some kind of a little pullback. It obviously does. But for the most part, you have a second opportunity to get back in the smooths. Whereas that's not true with gold, especially on a good winner. When you recognize a buy or recognize a sell, oh my God, like if you miss it, you missed it. And then it's frustrating because it's just a long, it's like a 30 minute trend where it just keeps going down. Not huge. It doesn't run. It's on a runaway, but it's like, hey, it's like 80 cents every bar. Right. You're like, shit. Wow. 80, and you're like, oh my God.
It's like getting run over by a steam truck.
Yeah. So, gold is a fun trade. I like it.
So let's talk a little bit then about the prop firm that you ended up partnering with. Is partner the right term? Is that the appropriate verbiage?
Yeah, okay. I happen to know some. I've been around for 25 years. I just happen to know the right people. They're trying to build, they're legit looking for 100 new traders. Mm-hmm. They want to grow their futures desk by 100 traders this year. And their way of doing that was through the prop firm, through TradeFunder. And what I liked about TradeFunder is they had just a straight path. Like, you have three paths with TradeFunder. You can open up an incubator account, you could go straight to funded account, or if you have a track record, you can submit your statements and whatnot, and boom, they'll back you.
Yeah, that was the most shocking thing that I saw. I love seeing that from, I think TFD does the same thing. Yeah.
I mean, I think the thing with all of these platforms, like, I'm not going to rip any one of them. All of them have their advantages and disadvantages, but any prop firm you're with has to have a path to live. And given what's going on in the industry, I think that's going to be important moving forward, because I think there's going to be a lot of stuff coming down in the next few weeks whenever they make their announcements on what's going to change. If you follow Peter Brandt, you can actually look to see what his thoughts are on it. And I don't disagree with him at all on some of his thoughts.
What's the gist of that? Just
unregulated gambling.
Gotcha. Okay.
Nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows. But I think the most important thing is, hey, you need a path to live. And that's what TradeFunder is allowing you. And, what's my deal with it? Well, I want traders to work under me. So part of the reason I partnered with them is I created a Discord group. And, people always ask, they want me to mentor them, whatever. I don't have unlimited time, but I am making time for everyone who signs up through my link, because if the trader does well, I do well. I mean, that's how it's lined up for me with TradeFunder. So yeah, I want like 50 to 100 traders under my umbrella.
So this is kind of like it's almost like a club. Then they join up with your link, then they get access to a Discord, and then access to your time to help them with their trading. Is that correct?
Yes. Anyone who's in my room that signed up with my link, if they want to have a conversation with me, I'll make time. We'll discuss. I'll give them what they think is working, what isn't working, why I think a market is good. I mean, like I said, obviously I'm much better. I can give them much better advice in, you know, fixed income and grains than I can ES and NQ. But I've been around, you know, I've been successfully scalping for 25 years, you know, my own account. I can give good advice. I've had ups and downs. I've had a 7-figure loss in a day on a fat finger. Right. Sucks.
Yeah, I talked about that. I remember.
I've had 5 winning 6-figure days in a row to start a year. Mm-hmm. I mean, these things happen, you know, like I've had the ups and downs and, you know, you battle through it. So I definitely will understand the swings. Like, yeah, I mean, I guess NQ would be like my fat finger. Come on, I've traded NQ. Dude, it's not an easy trade.
Yes.
I mean, it isn't.
Yeah, I've kind of stepped away from NQ personally. So you're more of a scalper. Like, that's been like your background for the majority of your career. You have experience in other styles and other assets, but is there like a particular style of trader that you are looking for, or do you just say, if you got chops, just come to me, I want to talk to you?
No, I mean, I thought I would get more fixed income traders because TradeFunder did bring fixed income back. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, they only brought it back as a straight to funded account, but I mean, a couple of the big bigger prop firms out there, you know, did ban bonds.
Right.
So there are rules with TradeFunder. I guess we can, you know, go over those rules, but I'm surprised more fixed income people haven't come to trade, you know, to trade. That's actually my biggest surprise because a lot of them, you know, felt lost.
Yeah.
And I just assumed all of them went into, you know, the actual market, but really not seeing them. Yeah, I mean, you can kind of tell when you trade, nothing's really changed.
Not seeing a bunch of more inventory.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a bunch of more stuff. You know, the scalpers can tell little changes in the market. You know, I notice things. I haven't seen anyone, you know, come in. I mean, I've noticed big changes in corn and beans, but not so much in fixed income.
Interesting. So yeah, it sounds like it doesn't really matter. You just want traders to come work with you, right?
I just want traders. I want to give them the opportunities that they want. Everyone asks to trade live. And, you know, the way I figured what TradeFunder is doing is for us who have kids, all of us know what buying Roblox means, you know, Roblox or whatever the other, there's another game right. My kids ask me for money.
Fortnite.
I'm blanking on it right now, but it's like, hey, or Fortnite. My boys used to ask for Fortnite. It's like, yeah, it's like, well, wait, you're spending real money for virtual money. And I'm like, yeah, I want that gig. How do I spend real money? And, you know, like, how do I get somebody to give me real money? Well, TradeFunder kind of reversed it. Yeah, you have to invest. You can invest as little as $49, but you can take that $49 and you can turn it into, you know, real money, a real account. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll back you with $15,000-$20,000, your own name. It's not a house account. It's your own name on your account.
Wait, say that again. I'm sorry. You're kind of
basically, I mean, look, everyone, when you go to any one of these prop firms, you're trading in a sim environment.
Right, right.
I don't want to mention names because it's irrelevant here, but some of the firms will never take you live. You know, they're like, hey, look, this is our strategy to make money. We want traders to buy as many accounts as they can. And if they blow out, buy more, keep buying more. And then eventually, well, if they get a payout, we're going to pay them out in, you know, they earn their money in SIM. They get paid out real money, but we're never going to take them out of SIM because we want them to, you know, constantly blow out of accounts and, you know, start the cycle all over again.
It has to do with the interests of the prop firm not being aligned with the interests of the people who are signing up.
Right.
There's certain firms out there, and we don't have to say the names, but yeah, they are banking on you failing. Their business model is you failing. And FTT was like that.
Absolutely right.
Right?
Yeah. They want you to fail.
Yeah.
Tournament burnout. Just keep signing up. We don't care. Oh, you opened up $5,000 worth of accounts. Great. you're going to get them. You know, it's, I think one of the unique things about Trade Funder is if we just take one account, you take the incubator account, which is $49 a month. Now it's a monthly fee, but you get unlimited free resets. I use unlimited loosely as you can only reset once a day. You know, right. So if you were to trade ES at 8:30 and you blew out by 8:35, you cannot reset until, you know, the 4 p.m. close. But for the month, you're allowed one reset per day. So in that regard, we're working more with the trader because...
Yeah, there's no rush. Other firms, to...
you'd say, hey, buy another $49 account.
Or they'd be charging you $150 a month for that stupid account, and you'd be paying that every month as opposed to, you know... Right. Like what you got going on there, or some of the other ones that I like. Yeah. When they make that more affordable, then you know that they're not looking for churn. They're not trying to put those timers on you.
No, I mean, right. We want to organically build a ton of traders. We don't want them to buy a ton of accounts. We just want a lot of traders to come in and see the value, what we're offering.
Let's be honest. I mean, if you're allowing people to have 20 accounts, that's just poor risk management on the prop firm's side of things, right? Like, how are they managing their risk if they're giving a bunch of unknown people 20 accounts to go, you know, sling full size with in the markets?
It's just not unrealistic. I was having a conversation with somebody in Discord who goes, what do you mean that's not unrealistic? It's like, look, the best way I can describe this is let's just take the Fed funds right now, which is a straight allocation market, and somebody is selling a 3-lot. Okay, that means there's 3 contracts up for grabs. Let's say I'm big enough and I can grab 3. Every time this guy sells, I'm getting all 3. I'm getting it in my one main account. If you have 20 copy traded accounts, it doesn't exist. There's only 3 contracts available.
Right.
Now, I'm using a funny example with Fed funds. Yeah, and you know, people will say, well, the ES and NQ move more. I'm like, dude, if you have 20 accounts... and you're trading 10 NQ in them, that's a 200 lot. One, show me a clearing firm that's going to give you 200 inventory in NQ without 7 figures in your account. Right. Now, you're going to need more than that. I'm sure my clearing would give it to me, but they'd probably say something to me about it. But come on, my account's pretty flush. I have max 25 in NQ, and I'm perfectly content at that number. I don't want to be able to do more than that. So it's just unrealistic. If you're copy trading over 20 accounts and you're putting a 10 lot out there, look, NQ can't support a 200 lot. Fixed income can, bonds can, but even 200 would affect the market. I mean, you would get filled and everything, but people would notice real quick, like, hey, there's a 200 lot player in this market. We can all see them.
Yeah, those are the types of people they like to go steal lunch money from.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't know what you're doing, slinging 200 lots on the market.
Right. So one great thing about Trade Funder is, well, I mean, it's a max 5 accounts, which it's fine. I mean, when people ask me what they should do, I always recommend opening up one account and getting the feel. Trade Funder has, there's some really good rules. You only need to make $1,250 to advance. You only need to make $1,250 to pull out money. That's definitely the lowest out of all the prop firms.
What's the drawdown on those accounts?
The drawdowns, the drawdown's normal. It's a $2,500 drawdown. However, there is a 1,000 daily loss limit, which is a hard breach. Yep. That's hard for people to understand. But at the same time, it's like, hey, you only have to make $1,250. $1,000 is your base loss on one day. You can, if you stop yourself out at $950, you can come back tomorrow, but you still have another $1,500 in drawdown. You have your $2,500 drawdown. It's just how to get there. Like, they're trying to train traders to, when they go live, to know what they're doing, to have a plan. Okay. We don't want you losing more than $1,000. I know traders, when they go live, they have that drawdown for probably a week before they take it off of them, because they want people to get their feet wet once they're live. You know, they don't want people to come in and feel the pressure right away. They're like, hey, relax. Trading is not easy. You're going to come live. It's going to be tough. They're going to keep it on you for a little. But once you get your feet wet and once you have a grasp of it, all the rules are gone. Another tight rule is you have to hold trades 15 seconds.
Oh, there's a minimum hold.
It's a minimum hold of 15 seconds on the account. So the four major rules are you got a 1,000 daily loss limit. You have to hold your trade 15 seconds. There is no news trading. They're listed on the website. And they're not all tier one news. There are some tier two in there.
I did see that their platform was good at overlaying when those news events were happening too. So that way you're not getting caught.
Yes, they have it listed. However, you do understand where people are coming from, that most people are sim farming, you know, given what's happened in the industry, like firms just completely blowing up, that it's better off if traders don't go all in at one firm and they have a couple accounts at this one, couple accounts here, here, here. And, you know, they have five or six firms. And that's a smart approach. And the fourth major rule is to be flat by 310. Those are the four major rules.
Yeah, there's nothing terrible in those. I would say that the $1,000 daily draw, you don't have to use the max they give you. If they're going to give you that much rope, you can cut it in half and hang yourself with less.
I'm actually okay with the $1,000. The 15-second rule is the hardest for somebody like me, you know, as a scalper. But I mean, I realistically go over all my bond trades. I could say all my trades are quick, and in my mind, they are. It's hard to scalp a bond under a minute. You know, I'm going to catch an edge. I'm going to be in the trade 30 seconds, 45 seconds, a minute. Some scalps are 2 minutes.
What about scratches, though? Like, say
that
you get into something.
Scalping.
Okay. So scratching is okay.
Right. You can scratch. The only thing they take away from you in the 15 seconds is if you win. You can scratch a trade in under 15 seconds. There's no penalty on that. Like, people are allowed to change their mind, but. Again, I mean, most people who have signed up with me that trade are all ES and Q traders. Like, there's a couple gold and oil traders. I mean,
really?
I would imagine NQ is probably the hardest for the 15-second rule.
NQ. Well, I mean, I hold NQ pretty long. When I was trading it, I don't like holding that one for like little quick hitters. Like, I want to hold that for like get a good entry, build a position, and take it to like an hourly swing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I see a lot of these traders, and I understand their strategy. You know, they micro scalp. They're doing the micros, and that's cool. There is no rules against micro scalping. You can absolutely do it. The 15-second rule, it can be a little restrictive for some of those traders, and I understand that.
Yeah,
it's not super easy.
Well, how do they act if you violate one of the rules? Like, what's the disciplinary procedure look like?
Because
I imagine that just like straight up closing the account and banning you. Like, after,
no, they
like,
don't close
the account. Yeah.
If you did an NQ trade and you made 20 points and it's 11 seconds, you're going to know right away that trade's not going to count at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to update your account and it's not going to.
Gotcha. But other than that, it's not going to take away from you other than what you would have made on the trade, basically.
So, yeah, come on. I understand the 15-second rule. It's not ideal for everyone.
But what about the other rules, though? Like a flat after 310, say you forget to close out your position and you walk away for, you know, at the close. Come back and check at 4 o'clock. What are you going to see?
Heart breach, which is why they offer free resets now. I guess one of the benefits of opening up with me is I'll fight on your behalf.
Right, right.
And I have sway. Some people have had.
I would have really liked to have you on my team when I was fighting with Top Step.
yes, I'll fight on your behalf, especially if it's a first offense. People who have bought straight to funded accounts and something weird has happened. And, you know, the account, I've gone to bat for them and say, hey, look, this is, you know, I'll go to bat for you.
Yeah.
Which is something nice. Now, if it's something the user's like repeatedly doing, there's nothing I can do. I mean,
right.
You know, if they're constantly breaking the rule, they go, hey, he's like, oh, I didn't know. It's like, dude, there's 4 days in a row you traded through a number.
Right. And that's understandable. But I mean, what I want to make sure is that you don't get your hands chopped off because you made the first mistake. That's something that I think people can be a little bit more lenient with, or Like, come on, man, give guys a chance.
Right. And that's all. Come on. They want to add 100 traders to their desk. I mean, this is what traders should want, an account with their own name on it. I understand that the industry has changed. It's not like when I was coming up, it was super easy to get a job at a prop firm. But these prop firms actually changed the space, because when I was coming up, you can get a job with a prop firm, but you had a desk fee of $3,000 a month, and your cut was 50-50. If you were lucky when you started, probably 40-60, but let's call it 50-50 with a $3,000 a month, you know, monthly fee.
Whose capital are you trading?
That was with theirs when you were coming up with, you know, a prop firm. You know, this was back in the early, you know, 2000s. It was probably really easy to get a job with a prop firm through about 2012 or so. Then it started to change. So, you know, what have these firms changed? Well, they definitely changed the payout structure. I mean, our payout structure is 80-20. It's an 80-20 cut, 80% to the trader. You know, some of them are 90-10.
Do they get a K-10 with that too, though? Because if you're getting actual trading you'll make out on that deal.
Yeah, you do get their benefits to going live with T3.
I think that was, I want to say like a 75% split is like comparable to a 90-10 in a SIN environment.
Yeah, it's 80-20. Yeah. I mean, it's a good deal. I mean, and every trader, 80-20 is as worse as it's going to get.
Right.
There's a trader or two I know that have better deals based on performance. But you know, that's a trader by trader basis.
Wow. So there's even some wiggle room in there during the,
you know what? I mean, what's the most important thing they're looking at? They're looking at risk reward.
Yeah.
They don't want to see you risk 50 cents or risk a dollar to make 50 cents. Because if you go over a chart, you're going to be like, hey, look, you can swing this for so long. Your hit rate, you're not going to hit at 80% winners.
Yeah.
Like, you can do it for 1, 2, 3 weeks for sure. Can be done. But eventually, it's going to swing the other way. And you're going to have a couple days, and then it's like, well, wait, if I'm risking, they want to see traders risk a dollar to make $3. They're not necessarily concerned with what your win rate is. I mean, actually, yeah, I would think traders can make it through winning only on 40% of their trades if their risk reward is correct.
Oh, you could do well on 25% if you have good risk reward.
Yeah. I mean, if you have outstanding risk reward and you have that ability to hold trades long.
And the mentality to not let a lower win rate affect your execution.
Right. So that's what they're looking for. And I mean, like I said, the benefit to signing up through me is just, look, if people want access to me, this is their best way to gain access to me.
I mean, I think you mentioned earlier when we were talking before the recording started, but like, how much would it cost to get an hour of your time?
I've never charged anyone for an hour of my time, but I mean, you know, I've never wanted to put a price on it because I don't know how to price out what sitting in an office for a week with me worth.
Right.
You know, my time's valuable. Like, whether I trade all the time or not, I'm constantly doing things.
Got a big family too.
So
yeah.
They get access to what I've learned in the fixed income. I mean, I put the three levels out there for everyone to see in my room.
And this is potentially for as little as $50 a month.
Right. I mean, they signing up for one account gets access. And what do I get out of it? Well, eventually I want to find traders.
Yeah.
That's what I want out of it. I want legit traders.
Yeah, you're not taking an affiliate deal with this with the futures trading team that you're putting together. You're looking to build a team.
They do well. I do well. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, man. So what? I love this, dude. I love this for you. I hope it works. But I've been hearing rumors that this might be the last chance that anything like this ever happens with you. That if this ends up not working out, that you may be retiring from social media for good. Is there any truth to that?
You know what? There's going to be one day where I don't need to be on social media and I'll just disappear. Look, I've left Twitter before. I left it maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I think I started 2-year flipper back in like 2012 or 13. Mm-hmm. And then whenever you look at my thing, I took a year off and nobody took the 2-year flipper handle. So then I took it back. Now I won't ever let it go, the 2-year flipper handle, but if I just disappeared one day, it's nothing bad. It's nothing good. It's just, I wanted to be done with it.
Yeah. So this may be the last chance to take advantage of something like this. Then.
I mean, the thing is if I build a team, now I'll always be around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, but again, I'm not tweeting as much about markets now. I tend to try to put a little more energy into Discord. And let me tell you, Discords just aren't fun with imposters and whatnot.
Oh my God, I know. Have you figured out a good way to stop them yet? And if you do, let me know, please.
I mean, it's like, dudes, it's like, and everyone knows I'm not going to ask for money and everything. Well, I might ask for Trump and Melania coins. you know, well, I probably needed those on Friday and Saturday. Now, they're not as worth, there's not as much value now.
Right.
Yeah, so if I'm not asking for Trump and Melania,
it's not you.
It's not me.
Oh, that's hilarious. I don't know. Is there anything else that kind of stood? You got anything you can say about the management team? I assume you've had conversations with the owners and probably got a good feel for what they're about. And
everyone. Look, they're just a good group of people. I know people like. I know one of the things I've heard about T3. Why people don't want to take deals with them, you know, if you bring in your own capital, because they're like, well, it's traders' capital first.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of like, well, dude, when isn't a trader's capital first?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you worked out a deal with a prop firm where you don't have to bring any capital in, like how Trade Funder built this is the trader's capital isn't up first because you're earning money in SIM. You're taking SIM profits and turning it into real money,
mm-hmm.
a real account. It's a complete free roll for you if you get through.
Right.
You have $15,000, $20,000 in your account. Is it easy to build it? No, but trading isn't easy.
How confident do you feel in their abilities to continue running this firm in the future? Like not going to see an overnight rug pull or anything like that?
No. I mean, there's no benefit in it for them at all.
Mm-hmm.
Trade Funder isn't that big right now. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're not going to ruin their name in the industry for, you know, a few bucks.
Right.
Well, what's the point? I mean, there's no money in it for them doing mm-hmm. that. And the reason they don't keep traders in SIM a long time is there's also not money in it for them to keep a trader in SIM. The longer you keep a trader in SIM, they're not participating in the actual market. So a trader's earning money that they have to pay them.
That's just causing,
it's better for them to take the trader live.
If the whole point is to make money off of traders that you're building a stable of, they have to go to live at some point. Otherwise, it's just the same Ponzi scheme that we've been dealing with.
You want your traders live.
Yes.
And, you know, if the trader doesn't make it, they can go through the program again.
Right.
It's not a one and done. And it's a relatively inexpensive way. I mean, yeah, it's $49. Then you have to pay an upgrade fee of $149.
That's if you pass.
Get to that stage two.
Yeah.
But for traders who are more experienced, I mean, I never recommend anyone going straight to funding unless they're experienced in this game. I think it's a big risk for the trader. With that said, there's some more lenient rules on the straight to funded accounts versus the incubator accounts. I'm sure the consistency rule, it's a 30% consistency rule that does not exist in straight to funded. I don't know how many people that affects,
mm-hmm.
but it's a rule, again, not one of my favorite rules, because what you really want, if a trader's really good at the risk reward and they're risking a dollar to make three, well, they might get a great read on the market one day. Let's say they caught a gold trade.
Yeah.
And it's $10 for them. I got to get out because it's like,
I don't want to make too much money. Yeah.
I think it's going to go another $10 lower or has potential, but I have to get out because this is going to screw up my consistency. Well, that's not a good look either.
But I mean, you can understand it from their perspective too. You don't want to see somebody hitting a home run trade one done and then just sit there and milk the, you know, the trading days by slinging like a single micros, you know, open close, yeah, just to get the days in.
We do that. You have to have five $250 days to qualify for a payment. So that's entirely possible to do on micros. It is.
Oh yeah, 100%.
But it's not easy. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not easy. Like the whole game, the game is to find legit traders. I mean, that's what they're. The bottom line is that's what we want.
It's not going to be easy.
Find legit traders.
It's not going to be easy, but nothing in trading. Nothing has ever
in
been
trading
easy.
Is easy.
Yes. Do you want to talk anything about the stock version of their plan, or
sure?
We...
I mean, you know, the stock version. I mean, my God, I mean, that's actually a pretty solid value. Well, I mean, it's expensive, but it's a solid value for people. I mean, you can open up one account, you get $25,000, you know, to straight to funded account. You're trading in SIM, mm-hmm. $25,000, and they give you 4-to-1 leverage on that account.
Oh, that's not bad.
So,
okay.
You are allowed to trade during news.
Only indexes or anything?
No, this is stock. So the stock program, you can trade NYMEX, Amex, and NYSE. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to short and you're allowed to trade odd lots. Commissions are, you know, standard. I think it's 0.005
okay.
on your shares. Same thing. You got that $1,000 daily loss limit. But with stocks, you have your max loss is $3,750 for your account.
Okay, that's not bad.
But I believe there's something with a pattern day trader, you know, a pattern day trade that this helps eliminate for traders.
You need at least 25K in order to be a PDT trader.
Right. That's why the SIM is 25,000.
That makes sense.
And that's when they go live, they would have 25,000 in their account.
Okay. And then with this one, are you still doing the same deal with the people that do the futures? Like they still get your time?
Yeah, I mean, they can absolutely have access to me. Now, my knowledge about stocks is, again, I'm not going to say it's the best. There's a lot of people out there way better than I am. My knowledge is just I've been trading for 25 years.
Yeah.
You're going to have swings. You're going to, you know, you're going to have ups and downs.
There's generic stuff that you can tell people about trading.
Yes. I mean, I can help them.
Yeah.
But as far as helping them recognize a trade, I mean, look, I'm starting to learn charts and everything. Dude, I make so many mistakes on charts. It's not funny because at the end of the day, I'm kind of using the chart. And then I want to see something on the ladder.
Yeah.
I want to see something on time and sales. What piques my interest? Oh, this is the area I'm interested in. Do I see anything transpiring at these levels that make me want to do stuff?
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
So I'll never get, you know, that's going to be ingrained in my brain the rest of my life.
Right. It's going to be hard to do, hard convert that over to stocks, especially with so many different DOMs you'd have to stare at. I don't know. Any other things, any other aspects of this deal you want to point out?
No, you know what? I'm just kind of disappointed in the lack of fixed income traders I found.
Well, I think maybe we can maybe send you a couple. I got a couple guys I can probably send your way.
Well, it's surprising. You know, I mean, you know, when the big firms shut them out, I thought a lot of them would be just, you know, raring to go because fixed income is where I can help people.
Right.
You know, that's the one that, you know, that's my bread and butter. That's, you know, I can show them some simple things in fixed income that would probably blow their mind.
Maybe I will send you a couple guys. I think I know a couple guys that might be interested.
You know, what's funny about the fixed income, like, and I talk about those three levels, it's understanding how they react to middle numbers. I mean, I wish I could explain it without giving stuff away, but my view on trading, and this is my view on scalping now, like it used to be, let's say 10 years ago when I went in, I just knew every day I was going to make $3,000 to $5,000 when I stepped in. I knew that was just going to be my average. Mm-hmm. I was going to walk out of there with $3,000 to $4,000. Well, now I might still average that in a day, but it's changed. I don't go in knowing I'm going to make anything on any day. I'm like, my goal every day is $2,000. I make $2,000 every day. Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But based on my knowledge of these numbers, when I see it, I push it. And I have an unbelievable read on the market. So you go, well, you want to make $2,000 a day, but you want to make $100,000 a month. Well, the math doesn't add.
Right.
There's 20 days. Let's just call it 20 trading days. That's only $40,000. Where are you getting the other $60,000 for? Well, first of all, it's an average of the year. So you got to include my roll weeks. My average every day up. Okay. So on the flip side, it's like, well, $40,000 is 20 days of 2,000. Well, I need one day a week where I read the market perfect,
mm-hmm.
you know, where I am completely zoned in on the market. That $2,000 day is a $10,000 or $15,000 day. And you go, well, you know, you do four $10,000 days and you have 16 $2,000. Well, now you're at 72,000 and that's a great month. And then now you add in a roll month, which I'm not making one on, I'm making more.
Right.
And then you say, oh, you're 72 and, you know, I made 200 on this roll month. You're like, oh, well, now it's 270. Now it's, you know, bigger average. Well, there's only four roll months. And come on, not every roll month is perfect. I think I share like lost in the...
I think the point is you're basically, you're stacking small wins until you have the chance to cash it in for a big score.
Yes. I mean, my view has changed significantly, and like I don't think I'm going to come in every day and make $4,000 like I did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, look, I'll make 2,000 and I'm going to swing for the fences when I see it.
Do you think that's just experience and like I you think maturing?
The market, the dynamic has changed. I can't be nearly as aggressive as I was 10 years ago. Yeah. You have to remember I was doing the majority of 10 years ago. That was in my peak 2-year phase,
uh-huh.
Where, again, I don't think people really understand how valuable my knowledge of the K-algo is.
Yeah.
That I know every little flaw in it. They're not flaws, just every little advantage that the algo gives. I know every one of them. I know how to take advantage of every single one of them to my benefit.
And if anybody else is interested in learning those tips, they can either listen to the back catalog, when we've done a lot of content on the K-Algos with 2-year in the past, or Jeff, where can they go to sign up and take advantage of this deal?
You know, the best place is just go to my X. If you follow me on, you know, at 2-year flipper on X, everything, my Discord link's in my profile. And so is the affiliate link for TradeFunder, both right there.
All right, I see it there. I'll make sure that gets stuck in the show notes so that way people don't have to go too far to find that. But I think we probably grilled you enough, Jeff. Please, everyone, join me in thanking 2-Year Flipper for agreeing to talk through these details of this new partnership with TradeFunder.com. And I don't think we've said it, but if anybody's trying to type that out, it's TradeFunder with FUNDRR.com. No E on that one.
That's yes. One of those.
let's see. There'll be links in the show notes for anybody who wants to take advantage of this deal. And while you're there, you can visit bandoftraderspodcast.com so you never miss a new episode. We will be back soon with another exciting guest and new opportunities to explore. But until that day, like, share, subscribe, all the things, and have a green week. This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.